Gedvach, everybody. Always a special schuss to be together. Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. Try to pull the Kedusha of Shabbos into the week. And we're going to talk about that more than ever tonight, actually. Before we begin, just think it would be appropriate that we tonight dedicate all the Torah and all the Chizik and all the Soros, Lul Nishmas, Chaim Kanievsky, Zechazad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit through the Shir, some Yesodos from Reb Chaim. But the entire Jewish world is in mourning. The entire Jewish world is in Avelis to lose somebody that was the Gadol Adar, looked up to by every Jew in the world. And it's supposed to be by him many, many times, and we'll share a little bit. And a lot of times when something like this happens, we think to ourselves, so what should we be doing? What is there to do? On Erev Shabbos, I had many, many phone calls, a lot of people reaching out. Everybody has to find their individual way to strengthen themselves and to learn from Reb Chaim. But there's no question that Reb Chaim's amelus b'Torah, his toiling in Torah, his dedication to Torah, his asmud in Torah was unparalleled. And no more special way than to do for his neshama and to be mechazik ourselves and to learn more Torah and to be together to learn Torah. And it's something we should think about, how we could make Torah more a part of our lives. Baruch Hashem, everybody here, you wouldn't be here if Torah is not a part of your life. You wouldn't be here on Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, and when Shabbos is ending very late already. But it could even be more. Every one of us. And to think about how it could be more. I think there's nothing more special we could do for the neshama of Reb Chaim, and hopefully we'll be zeichet of Reb Chaim back with Mashiach, Karav Yameinu. You know, so we all left Purim just a couple days ago. And Purim's this incredible Yom Tov, this beautiful Yom Tov, this Yom Tov full of so much simcha, yet it's very, very quick. It's only one day. It's a long day. It's a powerful day. I was thinking about it earlier today. You know, Chanukah and Purim are very much interconnected, obviously. They're the two Yom Tov Midrabanan. There's a very famous story of the Karlina Rebbe, Rav Aaron of Karlin. There's actually two stories that sometimes get mixed up a little bit. But they're very, very similar. And one story is how on Chanukah, the Karliner, see, he at times would say, I want to use specifically wax candles. And not oil. Now you could definitely be yotzei with wax candles, but we know there's a famous idea, the mitzvah min hamuvchar. The best way to be mekayim Chanukah candles was the oil. After all, the nes happened through shemen, as we know, through oil. Burns very nicely. So why would a tzaddik want to use wax candles, which is somewhat b'dieved? It seems to be a little bit of a secondary way to be mekayim that mitzvah. And he said, oil is very, very neat. When it burns, it just stays, burns out. When the wax burns down, it gets all over the place at times. And it will leave a mark on the table, on it will leave a roshim, an imprint. And I want Chanukah and all the chizik of Chanukah to stay with me. I want to be able to see that later. And this is a similar story. At one time in Chanukah menorah actually caught fire on the wall. They put out the fire, but it left this like black spots of soot on the wall. And some of the people in the family wanted to clean it and to paint it, and he wouldn't allow it. He said, "That's the most beautiful wall." Because Chanukah could stay with us, and I could remember it, and could be mechazik me, the light of Chanukah. So too has to be with Purim. Purim can't be this one day that we're inspired and we're connected, and Baruch Hashem was a schus to be together with so many of you on Purim. And hopefully it was a very special day, but if it was a special day, but feels like a very, very long time ago, and it was a special day, and I'm the same person today as I was before Purim, then what was it for? The remnant of Purim has to stay with us. I was thinking about it earlier in the day as I was sitting in my dining room. A lot of the chevra was over earlier in the day, but in my bias, you know, later in the day, Purim, it gets very lebedik, very special, and a lot of people are over. Some of your brothers. Until very, very late at night, and there's a lot of tansing and singing and Leibniz. It's beautiful. Hundreds and hundreds of guys. And at the end of the night, when it's all cleared out, which this year, because we're making Bez Hashem Achas, and I promised Meishas Chayil, we'd be finished by 1 a.m. Usually we go a little bit, a few hours later than that, but okay. But we did, I did. She didn't think I had remembered or be able to, but we were out by 1 a.m. But then I looked in the dining room, and there were some remnants, which I knew I'm not going to, you know, the Meishas Chayil wasn't going to be so happy about. There's a couple little holes in the wall, some scratches on the floor. The brake runs snicked up a little bit. And on one hand, obviously, you want your bias to be beautiful and not have these holes and these scratches. And Mirza Shem will take care of it and get it fixed. But part of me doesn't want to. Part of me wants to have that there. As a zikaron, as a remember, as a remnant, as a rishim, as an imprint. Shirayim from Purim. So it could be the physical reminder to remind me of Purim and how special it was. So most of us don't have physical remnants of Purim. How are we going to keep Purim with us? So I was thinking about it. Tonight is, I believe, the most appropriate night to talk about this. Because it's Matzah Shabbos, let me explain. Moments ago, we all made or heard Avdallah. And I'm going to explain tonight that Avdallah, every single Matzah Shabbos, is Purim Dik. It's Mamish Purim. Avdallah, every Matzah Shabbos is Purim. If we only understood how many connections we have to Purim. So let's start. The one that's most famous that you're all thinking about immediately. What's the most famous pasuk of the Megillah? The most famous of the pasuk of the Megillah, unquestionably, I believe. It's like, Lihud Ma'asarev Simchas Avdu Bikar. That's the pasuk, one of the few pasukim we say out loud during the Megillah. It's a pasuk that we've turned into beautiful, all different types of beautiful songs that we sing throughout Purim. And every single Matzah Shabbos, we say, Lihud Ma'asarev Simchas Avdu Bikar. Every Matzah Shabbos in our Avdallah. You ever think about that connection? Like, why is that? Why every Matzah Shabbos are we connecting to Purim? Every Matzah Shabbos. The entire year. That's the obvious one. But there are deeper ones. Every part of Avdallah. Listen to this. Every part of Avdallah. We made a Bayah B'nei B'Samim in Avdallah. We smelled some beautiful fragrance. Chassam Sofer explains that Besamim is a zecher to Mordechai and Esther. Esther is Hadassah. Hadassah is Miloshon Hadassim. Hadassim we know of the Dal Minim smell very, very delicious. They have a beautiful fragrance. Mordechai, the Gemara tells us, Mordechai min HaTorah minayin, where do we find that rem? Is a hint to Mordechai in Torah? Mor Doror, which is part of this beautiful scent. It was burned in Beit HaMikdash. So we see both Esther and Mordechai connect to Besamim. And Chassam Sofer says when we smell Besamim, it's a connection to Mordechai and Esther. Obviously we make a bracha on Yayin, on wine. When's there a mitzvah to drink wine? Purim. What's the lashon of that mitzvah? Very interesting. The lashon of the mitzvah is not chayav adam l'shtaker, that a person's obligated to get drunk. But you know it because it's also a song. Chayav inish l'psume b'purya. You know, b'sume melashon b'samim. To smell. Again, the b'samim. The wine. Like Yudim Ha'isa'ira. And one step further, it's brought down, Shulchan Aruch, based on Tehillim, based on a Medrash. We know the candle of Avdallah has two wicks. You know why there's two wicks? Those two wicks are supposed to be Merameh to hint to Mordechai and Esther. Chassam Sofer explains this as well. That Mordechai and Esther were in the times of Madai, which the Medrash says is Golus, which is darkness. They were in a time of darkness. There was no bigger darkness, perhaps. There was a gzeira, there was a decree that was nechtam, that was sealed, that we'd be destroyed. And they brought or. They brought Lahudim Isa'ira. And that's the light of the Avdallah candle. in the darkest of nights, in the darkest of times, is Or, is light. So all of Havdalah is Purim. So we think Purim is one time a year. Every single Matzei Shabbos, we're just reminded of Purim. We don't need, so you don't need, okay, Baruch Hashem, we have this chizik now, so I could go back and have reason to fix my walls and everything else. I don't need that remnant. I don't need that remnant, because every Matzei Shabbos we have a remnant. Every Matzei Shabbos, Havdalah is Purim dik. Why is that? What's the connection between Havdalah and Purim? What's the connection? What does Havdalah have anything to do with Purim? So we said just moments ago, and we know by Havdalah, we made a bracha on a kois shel yayin. We made a bracha on a cup of wine. Now why is that? A kois shel yayin, a cup of wine, is something very, very chashuv. A cup of wine is something very important. A cup of wine, we make kiddush. We brought in Shabbos on a cup of wine. By a simcha dik time, we have a cup of wine. Last Sunday, I was Masada Kedushin by a chasana. And the brachos that I made were holding a cup of wine. Sheva brachos are holding a cup of wine. You had a bris milah. And you make the brachas by the bris milah, and you name the baby. You know how you name the baby? This beautiful moment in time, such a simcha, holding a cup of wine. I've been zocheh as a kohen many, many, many times to be mekayim and do the mitzvah pidyon haben, and I make a bracha on a cup of wine. So on Havdalah, by Havdalah, when I'm leaving Shabbos, and nobody's happy to leave Shabbos, even though, okay, it was the first very long Shabbos, but that's beautiful, that's awesome. Nobody wanted to walk away from Shabbos. And I'm making a bracha on a kosher yayin. Kosher yayin is always a simcha dik time. Kosher yayin is always an elevated time. Isn't it strange? Maybe we should tear kriya or maybe burn some ashes. But we make a bracha on a kosher bracha. Make a bracha on a cup of wine. A cup of wine. You know, I actually recently told this story to mention, but I was thinking about it recently. I was reminded of a story because I have a. My son's friend is actually dating very seriously a young woman from Detroit. So I was reminded of the one time I was in Detroit for a chasana. A Talmud of mine, Yoni Miodavnik. And he married a young woman from Detroit. He actually now lives in Detroit. So I went to this chasana, and I was in and out the same day. And I was flying back. I remember I was sitting on the plane, and it's a short plane ride. And I remember I sat down and I was learning Mishnayos. And I was in a row with two other people. I remember first, I was, usually when I fly, I always like to fly on the outermost seat in the aisle. You know, you feel very claustrophobic inside. I want to make you, if I have to get up, I have to use the bathroom, I just have to be on the outside. That's, I always take the aisle. But here I happened to have gotten on, and I got the flight late. I don't remember what happened, but I had a window seat. But it was a very short flight, so I was okay. And next to me was a young man, probably in his young 30s. Maybe he was reading a book or something. And next to him was a young woman, also young 30s, was probably, she had her laptop out watching a movie. We're sitting on this flight, and they come around to give drinks. Basically, I don't know, I got a Diet Coke. I remember I made a bracha and had the sodas I'm drinking as I'm learning Mishnayos. I remember and the guy next to me, he asked for a cup of wine. And I remember being so taken aback, first of all. Because to me, now I totally get it. And maybe some people enjoy a glass of wine with dinner, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't take this in the wrong way. Wine just doesn't do it for me. But like, if it does for you, very nice, you can have a glass of wine. Nothing wrong with having a glass of wine. But to me, wine is kedusha. To me, wine is kiddush. Wine is a chasana. Wine is benching. Wine are mitzvahs. You don't just have wine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, just personally. So first of all, we're on a flight, and this guy gets a cup of wine in like some paper cup, and I'm like, where's his becher? You know, this is not how you drink wine. And where's the mitzvah? And then this topped it off. He just drinks it. No bracha, nothing. He wasn't Jewish. Not tainin on him. But I was so taken aback that here you have this. To me, like, wine is so chashev and kadosh, and I look forward every Friday night to making kiddush on wine. And here we're on a flight, and he's just like, "I'll take some wine in a paper cock and down it." Like, first of all, I felt so bad. You know what a schus it is to be a yid? That we can have wine and make kiddush on wine. That we can name a baby with wine. We can have wine under a chuppah. But the umas home is just like wine. I'll have wine on my flight. You know what we have? You know what kaddish it is? We have Shabbos. But he feels, listen, I'm not some, Baruch Hashem, I love all people. This is not like a, I hope you understand, this is not like a, some sort of racist comment in any way. I honestly feel bad for the Ummah Sa'olam. It's sad. They don't have Shabbos. Where would we be without Shabbos? We appreciate how kaddish Shabbos is? What a schus it is that we have Shabbos. What a schus it is to be a yid. I remember sitting there thinking, like, I feel so bad. Yeah, you have physical pleasure, but that's it. You don't have the schus to make a bracha, to elevate this glass, and you never made kiddush in your life. Anyways, coming back. So what's pshat in a cup of wine by Abdallah? I mean, a cup of wine is such simcha and kedusha and a kiddush and benching and chasana and pidyon haban and bris milah and Abdallah? Abdallah is when we cry when we're leaving Shabbos. Comes Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok says something so beautiful. He says, by the fact that we have wine by Abdullah, it teaches us something. Yes, we're being mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. Yes, we're leaving Shabbos. But if we're doing it pesimcha, why would I do a pesimcha? Because I'm going to make sure to take Shabbos into the week. Because I'm going to make sure, and the point of Abdullah is not just to separate so now I can get in my car and I can go on my phone and I can see what's happening in Chvestas, in Ukraine, and whatever. That's not why I end Shabbos. It's not why I make Abdullah. The reason I'm making Abdullah, and I do it on a kosher yad and say, I'm going to make sure to be Makadish my week now. I'm going to make sure that Shabbos changed my life and I'm going to be a different person all week long. All week long. I'm going to elevate, every day is going to be Shabbos-tik. I don't mean I have to dress in big day Shabbos and not keep the Amitas Malachos, but my week's going to be a different week now. I'm excited not to leave Shabbos, but I'm excited to go into a week full of Shabbos. It's going to be a different week. Because I'm a different person. I went through Shabbos. How could it be? It's going to be the same week after I went through Shabbos? Can't be. It just can't be. That's the Koshel Bruch. You know what the Slonim Rebbe says? Zivah Shalom. That's Pshat in the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches. The Gemara there says, if we keep two Shabbosos, we'll be Zoychid Mashiach. And everybody asks, why two? And if I keep one, that's not incredible? If all Klal Yisrael keeps one Shabbos, and if we need more than one, what do we generally find in Halacha? There's a concept of three, a chazaka, a strength. Where does two come from? The Slonim Rebbe says, there's a Shabbos called Shabbos that we're used to. That was today. But sometimes the whole week's called Shabbos. Like by Sefiras Omer, we say, Sheva Shabbosos Tumimos, to count 7 weeks. We call the week Shabbos. You know what the two Shabbosos are? When I keep Shabbos, and I keep it in such a way that I'm elevated, then my whole week as well is a different week. Those are the two Shabbosos. That's when we'll be Zoychid Mashiach. That's when we'll be Zoychid Gula. That's what Hashem is waiting for. What does it mean to keep Shabbos all week long? Well, what does it mean to keep Shabbos? It can't mean Lamatas Malachos. It doesn't mean Kiddush. It doesn't mean Cholent every day. You know what it means? On Shabbos, we have a different sense of consciousness. On Shabbos, I'm a God-conscious individual. On Shabbos, everything I do, I'm thinking, because I'm thinking what I'm allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do. I'm disconnected from the physical world, so I'm so present. So God is more present in my life. Ruchnius is present in my life. I'm God-conscious individual. That's what Shabbos are for. I rest from all my worldly responsibilities so that Hashem is so much, so more present. I daven differently. I eat differently. I talk differently. I dress differently. Take that into the week. Take into the week that Hashem is by my side. Take into the week that Hashem is with me. take into the week that I'm a different person in everything that I do. And that's Purim. Havdalah we mentioned, and we're going to be Merames, and we're hinting to Purim. All Havdalah long. The two wicks, Mordechai and Esther. The B'samim, Mordechai and Esther again. The wine. This kosher bracha, like we have wine on Purim. L'psume. Because you know what Purim was? And Purim could be with us? Purim is that day where it's the most physical days of the year. There's no Issur Melacha. I'm eating. I'm drinking. I'm with my friends. I'm with my family. I'm dancing. I'm listening to music. But I'm doing it with Hashem. I'm doing it with Hashem by my side in everything that I do. It's a different Suda. It's not a. It wasn't a Thursday afternoon lunch. It was Suda's Purim. I didn't just drink wine on Purim like that man that I sat next to on the flight from Detroit to New York. I drank wine b'kedusha with Hashem. And that's what Havdalah reminds us. Take Shabbos back into the week. Purim says, take the Rabbanu Shalom into your lives always. And live Purim dik always. You know, we all know the comparisons between Purim and Yom Kippur. They're beautiful and they're wonderful. But to be Yom Kippur dik is only one day a year. Yom Kippur dik is angelic. Not eating, not drinking, not bathing, in shul all day. One day a year, awesome chizik. But I can't be a Yom Kippur dik you chew all year long. I just can't. But to be a Purim Dik again, to be Purim Dik is Havdalah Dik. To be Purim Dik is Shabbos, all week, the Shabbos of the week. And that we all can do. That's why it is as well, you know, there's a famous idea I'm sure you've all learned, on Purim we were Makabel the Torah again. Biratzon. If you look in the Medrash Tanchuma and others, it's talking specifically about Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah. The written Torah we were already fully Makabel, Biratzon prior. We said Nasav and Ishmael. It was the oral Torah, Torah Shema Peh, that we were Makabel, Biratzon on Purim. Which itself makes it so appropriate that the final day of Reb Chaim Kanievsky's life, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu, Reb Chaim, who was the Amud HaTorah of our generation, the pillar of Torah of our generation, the pillar of Torah Shema Peh, who learned through all of Torah Shema Peh every single year. One of his Gabayim told us once years ago, that he would finish Shas. Now you understand, I know you're women, and I don't know if any of you are learning Shas. It's another shir for another time. But Lemaisa, what it is to finish Shas, so you all know Daf Yomi. And Daf Yomi finishes Shas, which is beautiful, I'm sure some of your fathers, some of your brothers maybe. Daf Yomi is amazing. And Daf Yomi, you finish Shas every 7.5 years. Beautiful, incredible. That's learning one blot, one page, two sides every single day. It takes dedication. Now, Reb Chaim Kanievsky finished all of Daf Yomi every year. So that's 7.5 blot every day. That was just some of it. He also finished all of Talmud Yerushalmi, all of Tanakh, all of Medrash, all of Rambam, all of Shulchan Aruch, all of Torah every year. All every year. And that wasn't all that he did. We'll get back to that in a few moments. Let's talk about his Torah learning. Every year, he made a siyum on Erev Pesach, on all of Torah. Not all of just Shas. All of Torah within a year. It doesn't make any sense. And by the way, it could be he was mashlim that. I don't know how he did it exactly, but this year was a leap year. And if it wouldn't have been a leap year, the day of Petira would have been Erev Pesach, by the way. If you think about it, right? What was Erev Pesach is Yudalad. Petira was Tazvav. But the way it works out with a month, Erev Pesach is going to be Erev Shabbos in 4 weeks. He was Nifter Erev Shabbos 4 weeks before, but if it wasn't a leap year, that would have been Erev Pesach. You understand? Meaning he was mashlim. He was complete. In every way. His Gaba years ago told us that Shas, just Shas, which I explained, most, if you know people finish Shas, it's 1 every 7.5 years, that he did every year, that part of his learning, he did every day before he davened Shachris. Now he davened Shachris Nates with sunrise every morning. So he learns 7.5 blot Gemara. Which one blot takes most people, if you do Daf Yomi Shir, it's like 45 minutes. So he did 7 Eflat, which he knew it so well and went much quicker than that. But still, he did 7 Eflat every morning before he davened Shacharis, and in midwinter, midsummer, because the way the clock is, he's davening Shacharis, I don't know, 4:30 in the morning. And he learned through all of 7 Eflat every morning before Shacharis. You understand? You don't understand, because I don't understand. I'm just telling you what was MS about someone who's a malach in our world. And on Purim is the day that we're makabel that Torah Shabbat, that oral Torah that he stood for, we're all accepting upon ourselves. But I think there's a lesson in specifically Torah Shabbat, not Torah Shabbat for Purim. Torah Shabbat is defined. Torah Shabbat has an end. It's these psukim, it's these words. Torah Shabbat is Ein Sof. Torah Shabbat, you could spend hours on one line talking about it and understanding. It's the oral Torah, it's in a certain sense our Torah. Because the avodah of Purim is to say it's always there. It's always Hashem is always. There's no. It's not only Shabbos. Hashem's by our side when it's Shabbos or when we're learning or when we're davening. No. Hashem's with us always, and we have to be conscious of that. And that's the lesson of Torah Shabbat. It's constant and consistent in everything. And that has to be our avodah. And when we pull Hashem into every aspect of our lives, we live Purim Day. Like Abdullah, and we live Shabbos all week long. Hashem, just think. It's just a simple, by the way, it's beautiful. Sounds very difficult. It's not really as difficult as it sounds. It's difficult to learn what Reb Chaim learned. Let's put that to the side for now. That's not for us. I mean, it is for us to hear about it and mechazik ourselves. But to just make Hashem more part of our lives. How many Jews are there that keep every single mitzvah? It's very possible. There are a lot of people like this. They don't do anything wrong. And they daven 3 times a day or 2 times a day as women. And they dress sneis. And the men put on tefillin and wear tzitzis. And make brachas. And at the end of the day, they do it all. But you ask them, how much do you speak about? Think about it. Speak about Hashem today. Could go through the whole day, not even once. Because it's just rote, mechanical. And part of my life, which is letter of the law, I did it all. You did nothing. Did we think about Hashem? Did we believe? Is Hashem by my side? Just start talking about Hashem, talking to Hashem. Thinking about it. We start to get nervous about something. We start to have some anxiety about something. Just stop and say, Hashem is by my side. Hashem's taking care of me. Hashem's orchestrating it all. I'm going to really be crazy nervous about Shiduchim when Hashem's Meshadich Shiduchim and He's watching over me and He loves me and He's by my side. And if I really believe that, I'm going to have the biggest smile on my face and I'm going to daven and I'm going to do my Ashtadlis and it's all going to be good. And I'm going to live with Hashem. That's Purim Dik. And I'm going to eat in a different way. I'm going to make brachas in a different way. I'm going to act differently. I'm just going to be Hashem by my side always. I remember a story years ago. I told this over once. There was a bus driver in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. He was a bus driver for a particular cheder, by a Svardik cheder. I think his name was Baruch. He'd drive the boys to yeshiva every day. He was a real Eved Hashem, a real mamon, real Ba'ir Shemayim, like, you know, type of yid you only find in Eretz Yisrael. You know, like the taxi drivers. Such a deacon. Every other word out of their mouth is Hashem. And he was the bus driver for these kinder every morning. And they weren't the easiest always. You know, they were little kids and they'd make trouble on the bus and they'd give him issues. And he was full of love and full of Hashem. But at some point he started to get a little bit older and he told the manal, he thinks he can't handle it anymore. It's hard. The kids are difficult. Feels like he might have to retire soon. The manal loved him and thought it was like Kilo having another Rebbe, because having someone so special as the bus driver. You know, the bus is where all like crazy stuff goes down. Somehow, that's just where, unfortunately, it's like not great things go down on the bus. So it was important to have somebody like this as the bus driver. The manal said, you can't. He says, no, but I've been here already, 30, 40 years, whatever it was, it's time for me to retire. The kids are very hard. He says, no, but you're giving them so much. I'm not giving them, I'm just their bus driver. He said, let's go, come with me. We're going to go to one of the chief big Sephardic rabbis, Chacham Abba Shaul. We'll go to Chacham Abba Shaul, and we'll ask him what he thinks. And whatever he said, the bus driver said, I'm not going to go against Chacham Abba Shaul. Whatever he says, okay, fine. And they go to Chacham Abba Shaul, and the Manal, the principal, tells the Chacham how the bus driver wants to leave, and could he leave? He's older already, and it's hard with the kids. And Chacham Abba Shaul looked at the bus driver, Baruch. He said, Baruch, you know what tzchus you have? That every time you pick up a little boy, every single time you pick up that little boy, and he comes onto your bus, you know what you're doing? You have psicha of a Sefer Torah. Every time. You have to stop and think that every time you open that door, it's mamish psicha by a Sefer Torah. When you let the boy out to yeshiva, it's again psicha to put away. What a schus. You can't give up such a schus. And Chacham Abba Shaul, he heard this, and the mamish changed his life. He said, okay, I'm not leaving. I'm in. And the next day he came with a big smile on his face, and every single time he opened the door, he felt he's opening the door, mamish, like psicha by the Aron. And it was such a different perspective. He's driving a bus! He's taking kids to school! That's so kadosh! That's like, that's so kadosh! That's like our davening, like our learning, like our Purim, like our Yom Kippur. Yeah, it is. That's what Chacham Abba Shaul taught him. That's psicha. And if we can start to think like that in our day, everything we do with Hashem by our side could be kadosh. That's what it is to be Purim. That's what Purim does for us. Purim elevates it all, says it all could be kadosh. In the mundane, bring it in. Bring Hashem in. He seems hidden, no, he's there. In everything that we do. And I live Shabbos then all week long, the same way. That's what Abdullah reminds us. We have to believe in this. We have to take this with us. And that was Reb Chaim as well. And I'll tell you, how do I know? What do I mean that was Reb Chaim as well? Because Reb Chaim, and you're going to hear story after story of his incredible, legendary, Amelus B'Torah, toiling the Torah, that's modern Torah, which is something unparalleled in our generation. His Shver had it, his father had it. He came from big people. The Kilos Yaakov, the Stipler Goyen, his father-in-law, Rav Yashiv, Zeches Adach HaShivracha. But in our door after them, Reb Chaim, he's a Smadah. So you'd think that's all he did, right? All he did was sit and learn all day. And therefore he knew so much Torah, knew Kol HaTorah, he could pass in any Shaila, and he had a Koyach HaBracha, and people went to him for brachas, and have amazing stories with children, with sicknesses, and of course, all these are true. But stop and think about that. You know what he did every day? Every single day, here was someone that loved Torah more than anyone in the world, that was Amal B'Torah, that toiled in Torah more than anyone in the world, and all he wanted to do was learn Torah and loved it, and gave Hashem a hug every time he opened up his Gemara. But you know what he did for hours upon hours and hours a day? Every day, met with people. And I was there many, many times in my life. I don't know, maybe 15 times in my life. I don't know how many times. And he saw hundreds of people a day. And of those hundreds of people, many of them were asking the most simple questions or the most simple brachas. And he gave everyone his attention. And met with everyone. And they didn't charge. You didn't have to pay money to get in. There were no tickets. He just gave of his time, hours every day, of people who he never met, people who he didn't know, people who did nothing for him, because he understood it meant something to them, and he understood he could help them, and he could be there for them. He understood that Hashem is here as well. He understood that it's not just sitting with my Gemara. In everything that I do, I'm with Hashem. And I'll tell you a personal story where I learned this from him. I learned this from him myself. Goes back a long time. I don't know how many years ago it was. I'm still looking. I have this whole conversation when I'm about to tell you recorded. But I haven't found it. I'm trying to look in Erev Shabbos. It was late when. But when I was already a Rebbe, probably about 6-7 years into being a Rebbe, and dealing with Talmidim and Talmidot, and so I always, when I wanted to go into Chinuch, to give Torah, which was something I was very passionate about, I didn't realize going in how much time it really is. You think, okay, you envision yourself being a Rebbe and going into a classroom and giving over Torah, and then, so you have your 2 hours of shiur and your hour, maybe a couple other classes, and then you have a lot of time to yourself. You can sit and learn many hours a day, which is exciting. That's what I love doing. But then as you, each year, have more and more Talmidim, if you're actually somebody that cares about those Talmidim and Talmidot, so each year you have more and more people that you're connected to, more and more people that you have a relationship with, more and more people that you want to be there for. Which is just more and more and more phone calls, and more more time, and more issues in life, and more halachas and psak halacha to answer. And it hit a point where I realized that, mamish, if I got back to every single phone call and every little thing, mamish, I have no time for my own learning. So I said, who can I go talk to about this? The person who stands for Torah more than anyone else in the world, who's the Amar HaTorah, the Sar HaTorah of Chaim Kanievsky. So I went to Reb Chaim, and I remember this, like yesterday, it was Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. I went to Reb Chaim, and I said to Reb Chaim, I said, Rebbe, I'm a Rebbe. I'm a Rebbe, and I give a Torah, but I have so many people calling, and this, and if I, what should I do about my own learning? And he looked at me, and he said, all the time you're with Talmidim, Talmidot, all that time is also considered learning Torah. That's what he said to me. Again, this was in Hebrew, it's a conversation, I'm giving it over to you in English. So then I looked at him and I said, Rebbe, but maybe Rebbe doesn't, I didn't really explain. A lot of the time, especially with my high school Talmidim, is not really talking about Shas and Poskim and Gemaras. A lot of it is mundane conversations. You know, when I'm sitting and talking about to some guy about some girl issue, it's not, I'm even Yavin, I mean, I didn't give that example to him, but you know what I'm saying. So he looks at me, and he said, that's also a very big mitzvah. So I looked at Reb Chaim, and I said, Rebbe, so how much should I make sure to learn every day? I understand, okay, it's beautiful, if that's also a big mitzvah that I should be doing, but how much should I make sure to learn every day? This is coming from somebody who learns, I explained how much he learns a day, right? You heard. He said, just try to learn a little. Now I try to learn a little every day, and I try to learn more than a little every day, but that being said, it was such a chizuk, coming from somebody, again, who learns all of Torah every year and understands the chashivas of Limud Torah, to tell me to recognize that what I'm doing and being there for people is more important. And recognize that Hashem is not just there when I'm learning Torah, but Hashem could be there always in everything that we do. And maybe there's a concept of Derech Eretz Kadmo Torah, and giving to others, and putting others above yourself. And learning that from him was the biggest lesson of my life. And I've lived my life according to those words. From Reb Chaim. And that's what it is to be Purimdik all year long. To be Purimdik all year long means, I can't always be in the moment of Shabbos, and I can't always be in the moment of Yom Kippur, and I can't always be learning Torah, and I can't always be davening, but I can always be with Hashem. Always. In everything that I do. And that's awesome. And that's beautiful. And that's how I could keep Purim with me. Because that's what Purim is all about. And that's how I could keep Shabbos with me every week. And we could be reminded of this every single Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. Every one. We have to keep the fire burning in that way. You know, we read it this morning, actually. It's always the parsha, we've said this so many times, teaches how you have to live with the parsha. And the parsha is at a particular time to give us chizuk for that time. And if this week's Shabbos was right after Purim, it's to give us chizuk for that. For leaving Purim, or to never leave Purim. The pasuk said at the beginning of the parsha, in Perek Vav, pasuk Vav, Eish Tomid Tukar Al Mizbeach Lois Sichta, famous pasuk. Maybe some of you sometimes is an Aron that has it on top of Eish Kodesh. Here in Woodmere has this pasuk on top of their Aron. Eish Tomid Tukar Al Mizbeach Lois Sichta. What does those words mean? An eternal flame should be burning on the Mizbeach. Don't extinguish it. And what's the obvious question? If it's an eternal flame, why is it hard to say Lo Sichta? Don't extinguish it. Those words are superfluous. Those words are extra. Every word in Torah is precious. It's already Eish Tamid. Of course, Lo Sichta. So the Yerushalmi,
that explains so beautifully.
This is talking about the Mishkan. And the Mishkan, we know, it was put together and they would use it, but then they would take it apart and they'd travel with it. And one would think that this flame that's burning bright on the Mizbeach is always there when it's set up and they're bringing korbanos. But what about when they dismantle the Mishkan and their journey, seemingly put out the fire? Why would you have the fire? Could be even dangerous. You're traveling with the fire, and what point is there? You're not bringing korbanos as you're walking. Losichbe comes to add those superfluous extra words, to add losichbe af b'masos, even when you travel. Even when you're traveling, the fire has to be burning. One chizik is to teach us when we travel and we're on vacation. Sometimes, unfortunately, there are those yidden. Suddenly, they go on vacation. It's like a fifth book of Shulchan Aruch, you know? Remember that Pesach time, but we won't get into that right now. That's not what I want to say tonight. I think this is another lesson. When the Mishkan is set up, it's Kaddush. When the Mishkan is set up, it's when I'm davening, when I'm in shul, when I'm learning, when I'm Shabbos, when I'm Purim, when I'm Yom Kippur. But then I'm going to have to travel away from there. I'm going to have to go and eat, and I'm going to have to go to school, and I'm going to have to have a job, and I'm going to take care of my children. I'm going to have all different types of mundane activities in my life. Those are my souls. Where I travel away from Mishkan, the fire needs to still be burning bright. Don't put out the fire. The fire can still be burning bright. It's an eternal flame, lo sichbe, it never gets extinguished. That's the scent of Purim. We said that there's the reach, the besamim, is the besamim of Mordechai and Esther. But all of Purim is besamim dik. Mordechai and Esther, Chayav ben Zulpsume, and then Havdalah, we have this besamim. You know what's amazing about something that has a fragrance, that's a scent? So usually there's a source for that scent, right? There's a source. But even if you take away the source, you take that source away from the makom, from the place, the scent still lingers. You can still smell it there. You can still smell it there. Even when the source of the scent is taken away, you still smell it. It stays in the room. You know, the object of the scent is not there, but the scent is still there. That's why there's so many connections to Purim and Besamim. B'psume b'poria. The psume means to be full of scent, full of fragrance on Purim. Meaning, even if the Purim itself is gone, I smell like Purim. I still smell Purim, and it's still part of me. Because Hashem is here. Hashem is Bames. I walk away with that. I keep the fire bright. For Last night I got into a little trouble with my family. You see, yesterday, my wife reminded me many, many times that I have to check all the Shabbos clocks, because last night's Shabbos, we switched the time, right? Daylight savings time, we had to go face this. We switched the times up an hour, and we lost an hour of sleep, right? You all remember this. So all the Shabbos clocks have to be changed up in order to make sure the lights are going to go on the right time. And specifically the dining room, to make sure we have light for our Lel Shabbos Suda. And it was a particularly special Lel Shabbos Suda. Every Lel Shabbos Suda is beautiful, but in my bias, it was a particularly special Lel Shabbos Suda, because as a Shabbos making a chasam, my son Shmuel's getting married in a week from Tuesday night. Next week's Tofruf. So it was the last Lel Shabbos, just the Mishpacha, just our family in this way. So it was also a very special Lel Shabbos. So my wife reminded me a few times, and I checked it, I did it. But somehow I have like very bad mazel with this stuff, and I always do it wrong. And I just mess it up, and like, there's a lot of cheshbonos you have to take, you know? Like, I have too much going on in my life to like, but I should be doing it right. It's not an excuse, but I'm just, so I changed like the time, but I didn't change the time it went on properly, and I kept whatever it was, and I had it still going on. So I put the time to whatever the new time was, but I had it still going on the old time, which is an hour earlier. So my wife walked into the room, and as she should, with my kids to light Shabbos candles, and they turned off the light in order to light Shabbos candles, because you're supposed to light Shabbos candles in a darker room. It's better to bring out the aura And then usually I have the light to set on to go on before the Suda. But I had it set on to go on earlier because it was all messed up. And basically it wasn't going on again. And I get home from shul, and the dining room's dark. And I knew I'm in big trouble. I knew I'm in big trouble because, yeah, you could understand, you know? Because obviously it was all my fault, don't get me wrong. Even though I tried to talk my way out of it a little bit, but that wasn't going anywhere good. It was just making it worse. So, okay, so now what? So now we have to find a nice individual to Umas Olam to help us out over here, right? Now, by the way, halachically, it's not so posh. We don't have the time tonight to go through Amir al-Aqwa. I always say I wish there was more time we could learn together, because I know so many of you that are... It's a beautiful thing we have. I really feel very strongly about the chevra that we have and this learning that we do together. But I wish it could be so much more, because there's so much more to do. And specifically in halacha, I feel like there's not enough halacha that's learned, especially by Nashim Sekanios, who are going to be the foundation of the bias, and there's so much halacha that's important to know, specifically Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Kashrus. And unfortunately, I don't know, some of the places do, but not everyone's doing a good enough job at that. I wish we had time to learn halacha also. I don't know, maybe we have to figure it out. Julia, you figure it out somehow? I don't know, we're going to have to, I don't know when, find more time in this world, but... L'mais is not so... Amir la'akum, having non-Jews do for us on Shabbos, is not a pashat halachos. There's a lot of people... When we're little kids, we're all taught, like, you could hint to anything. As long as you hint, you could basically, like, drive cars on Shabbos, you know? And that's not how it works. There are times where you have to hint, and you can hint. There are times when you're not allowed to hint at all. You're not allowed to do anything. There are times when you don't even have to hint, and you could just say straight up to ask a guy to do it. It depends on the situation and what you're dealing with. If somebody's sick, if it's a mitzvah derabim, if it's just a mitzvah, there's so many different... Is the malacha derais or derabban? Again, we don't have all the time to go through this. So basically, by the way, if you're in a completely dark room, and it's not derabim, it's not a public mitzvah, it's just like your own family, you couldn't even hint to ask a non-Jew to turn on the light. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. Again, I don't have the time now to go through all the halachos, but you're not allowed to do that. Trust me. If you want to be in touch, if you want to get more in depth into this. But happened to be we were in luck. We were in luck because we lit Shabbos candles. My wife and my children lit Shabbos candles, and therefore there's light in the room. And you could ultimately eat in that room and still could see a little bit. Now, it's not geschmack and not an enjoyable meal for most people to eat. It still was somewhat dark. Dim. Truth is, I would be excited to eat like that. One of my closest friends, and someone I'm super close to, is a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rav in Yeshiva in Tevarieh and lives in the Old City. Rav Yol Rakovsky. Rav Yol, every Lel Shabbos, so he starts a Suda in the light, but like, mamish, maybe 45 minutes into the Suda, before you get up to any of the food, even while you, like after Kiddush and Amotzi, all the lights go out, and you're just by candlelight. That's the most beautiful suit in the world, sitting by candlelight in the Old City with the dome ceilings. He has light from the kitchen, comes in a little bit also, but it's gewalt, it's so beautiful. Now, years ago, the first time I ever went to Rav Yol, I remember I came home and I wanted to take this on. I said, this is going to be beautiful. So I didn't tell my family. Nishami, you remember this? I don't know if you remember this one, but I didn't tell my family, and I set the clock to go off, like, 45 minutes into. This is what I said it properly. So we're sitting there and I make Kiddush, I make a motzi, and we're like, maybe it was post-super, I don't remember exactly what point, and the lights go out. And we have the candles lit, but my wife looked like, what's going on? I'm like, isn't this so beautiful? And the whole family got up and went to eat in the kitchen. So that was the last time we tried that. Nobody was into that. They want to actually like see their food and... Okay, I tried. That was it. I was definitely outvoted on that one. Here, nobody was so happy that I messed up the lights, especially this Friday night. So first I tried to get some of my girls to go try to find somebody. So again, the reason you're allowed a hint in this situation, once you have lights that are lit already, it would be an added benefit, not a full benefit, because you already have light, you just need more light. That's a situation when you have a malacha that needs to be done, but you already have some light, you're allowed to hint to a non-Jew to have additional hana. This would be a situation where you could hint for a non-Jew to turn on the light. So we're trying to find, but like nobody's outside. It's already like 9 o'clock at night. And there's no one to find. So finally I go with my son, with Uriel, and we go like around the corner and knock on the door, and I found this nice man, Andrew. And Andrew came when we hinted to him and he turned on the lights. He was a very, very special guy, and he wished us a good Shabbos, and I hope he wasn't Jewish. I mean, you never know in these circumstances, you know? He didn't seem to be. So we had light. And it reminded me of the following story. There was a very famous tzaddik, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky was a magid, a tzaddik. And he also was one sitting, he was already sitting in the Shabbat table, and he had a big group of guests, and the lights went out. And also, there were some candles lit, but it wasn't geshmak. And they also had somebody non-Jewish that was outside, and they went there and they got the individual. And one of them said to him, "Oh, we lost the ring or something." So instead of turning on the light, the non-Jew gets down on the floor, is looking for the ring in the dark. Chacham, you know. So then one of them says to him, "Oh, you know, you like beer? Oh, yeah. We have cold beers in the fridge if you want." So then suddenly it's for him. He turns on the light and he goes to get the beer. He says, "Thank you so much. This is delicious. I'm sorry I couldn't help you find the ring. I don't know. We can't find it, but I appreciate the beer." Turns off the light and walks out. Ryako Galinsky says, we see from here, first of all, that by this individual, all he cares about is himself. When it was for himself, he turned on the lights. To help someone else, he got down, but he didn't even think enough to help others in the way that he could have. And a yid has to always be there for others. But he said the other thing we see from here is by the Umas HaOlam, they have light. But they have light for a moment. And then they're back to darkness. We have to keep the lights of our life burning bright. That's what Yaakov Galinsky said. And we too. That every single one of us went through a Purim. If we went through a Purim, it's not about Purim, it's about after Purim. It's a Gansir Purim. There was once a chassid who came to Beis Avram of Slonim, and he was crying to him like we do on Purim, mamish, tears of his kashrus of connecting to Hashem, and asking what he could do better. The Beis Avram says to him, he wouldn't answer him, he says, "Just come back to me tomorrow. I want to talk to you tomorrow. I want to see where your heart and your tears are tomorrow." I mean, he was trying to say, it's not about what you feel today, it's what you're going to be able to feel in tomorrow. Are you going to pull Purim into tomorrow? Are we going to keep the lights on? Are we going to keep the scent of Purim lingering? Are we going to make a chash of Havdalah on Purim? We didn't make Havdalah on Purim, right? But that's Purim Fakarek. That's the biggest Havdalah is not to be Mavdil. The biggest Havdalah is not, because that's the point of Havdalah. That's the kosher bracha of Havdalah, according to Rav Tzadok. To say, I'm going to pull Purim into the year just like I pull Shabbos into the week. Every single week. And Hashem's going to be by my side the way He is Purim. The way that even when it doesn't seem present, He's by my side every moment. And I'm going to be thinking about that. And I'm going to be a Yid who, if I have to drive a school bus, I'm thinking about Psicha. Whatever I'm doing, I'm thinking about Hashem. And I'm thinking that He's with me. And I'm elevating whatever I could do. Keep the Eibishter by my side every moment. That's our avodah. That's our avodah. Maybe if we do that, Hashem is going to see that the Yidden, that all of us, keep Him with us. He'll say, "I want my dear of Dachtonim again." Chazal brings down Misa of Tzadikim Mechaperes. Chazal brings down that when we lose a Tzadik and we lost a Tzadik, that we don't know how we'd be replaced. We lost somebody that held up the world. Literally. Held up the world. With his Torah, with his Chizik, with his Eitzah, with his Brachas, held up the world. Who are we going to go to? You go to Reb Chaim. Mitzvah of a Tzadik is Mechaper. It brings atonement. So maybe that was the final Mechaper we need. And if we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each and every one of us, that we have you by our side always in everything that we do. Hashem says, "My Yidden have me by their side. They're just thinking about me. And how could I stay up here?" Meaning, Eibush is everywhere, but there's a concept of Shechina B'tachtoinim. That's what the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash represents, which is not here right now. Abraham's going to say, if we do our part and bring him down, we'll come back. Come back, we'll be Zaycha. Because Purim ended, it was a Kati Avdei Achashver Shanan. So, noch after Purim, it's not enough. After Purim, we still didn't have Beis HaMikdash. Maybe we become Purim Dik always. And we'll be Zaycha to be as Mashiach. B'zoichet Gula Shleima, B'zoichet Chesa Mason, we'll have Chaim back, and all the Tzadikim back, Gula Shleima, B'shiach Kenu, B'mhera B'yamin. Everybody should have a...